Today we read from the first letter to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not the plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do not speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it was written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Our affirmation of faith is inside the back cover of your hymnal. Let's join together in the statement of faith of our United Church of Christ. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, who is made known to us in Jesus our Lord, and to whose deeds we testify. God calls the worlds into being, creates humankind in the divine image, and sets before us the ways of life and death. God seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. God judges all humanity and all nations by that will of righteousness declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, God has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the whole creation to its Creator. God bestows upon us the Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. God calls us into the Church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of the whole human family, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. God promises to all who trust in the gospel forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in that kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto God. Amen.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter, or the 5th chapter rather, verses 13 through 20. This is a continuation of last Sunday's gospel reading from Matthew. If you remember, it was the Beatitudes, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is also part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. It goes for about 2.5 chapters. Not quite so long in Luke. In fact, a lot shorter in Luke. And of course, it's known as the Sermon on the Plain. In that gospel. But I share it with you this morning from the Message. It's actually two different pieces. It's the end of the first part of Jesus' discourse, and then the last few verses are a lead into the next part of his sermon. So pay close attention to the words of Jesus' message. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous God. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I am going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Macaroni and cheese. Ketchup and mustard. Beer and pretzels. Wine and cheese. Cheese and crackers. Seals and Croft. Loggins and Messina. Yeah, my age is showing. Abercrombie and Fitch. There are other things with that "and" in the middle. I'm sure you can think of some of your own. But some things just go together, don't they? Just fit like this, hand in glove, so to speak. We think of them that way. It's what comes to mind when we hear one. We might add the other, kind of like word association. But what about salt and light? Really? Do they go together? I mean, salt and pepper, yeah, okay, but salt and light? Not one that we relate with one another. Unless we've heard this piece of scripture from Jesus as he talks to the folk that were there to listen to him that day on the mountain. Because Jesus says that salt and light do go together. And not only that, he says that that is what disciples, followers of Jesus, of God's ways, are supposed to be. I like how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this piece of scripture. Jesus says, you're supposed to be salt, to bring out the God flavors of life. The God flavors. God's love, God's beauty in creation. To add zest to the life of the whole world. To spread God's good news, the love that God has, the care that God has for God's people. Old and young, rich and poor. the oppressed, the downtrodden, the ones that have experienced injustice. That's what Jesus says that we are to do, what disciples do. And then again, to be light. Bring out the God colors. To color the whole world with those same things that we do as salt, that disciples do as salt. Not for ourselves, but again for the whole world. I read in one of the commentaries, I think it was the New Interpreter's Bible for the Gospel of Matthew this week, it pointed out that a good thing to remember is the primary function of light is not to be seen, but to let things be seen as they are. We think of it more the other way sometimes, don't we? Look at me. I've shown the light on me, but that's not what a disciple does, what a follower of Jesus does. But to shine the light of God on those things, maybe good, maybe not so good. Hold them up to the light of God and God's ways so that they can be seen for what they are. That's a disciple's job. That's the church's job. But sometimes we wonder about that, don't we? When we speak out, when we are salt and light, sometimes we wonder if anybody is listening. Sometimes it seems an overwhelming job to do. Like when we try it, what's the use? We're powerless. And it's risky stuff. It takes some courage to be salt and light for the world, for God. And like we're not good enough to do it. Nelson Mandela quoted Marianne Williamson in one of his messages. And this is her quote. Different way to think about being salt and light. And she says this, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in all of us. And when we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Salt and light to liberate. There are some big questions that I call, life questions. One, like, who am I? We ask that question once in a while in our lives, probably more than once, maybe many times. Who am I? Another one is, where did I come from? We wonder about those things. Well, here's an answer to, or answers to, those two questions. There are others, but this is my answers. Who am I? Who are we? I'm a child of God. We are all children of God. Where did we come from? Where did I come from? My answer? From the mystery and depths of God's love for each of us in God's world. But there's one other question. Why am I here? What's my purpose? for disciples, for the church? We read the answer: to be salt and light for the world. To love God and neighbor. There's another combination that should always go together. And we gather around this table this morning, God's table, Jesus' table, with another combination, the bread and the cup. To share a meal together, God's meal, to remember Jesus who shows us how to be salt and light, and to be strengthened by it to be the salt and light that the world needs. You've heard this before, maybe you've even said it, somebody has said it to you about somebody: they are the salt of the earth, which means they're a really good person, respected. We are not called to be in the church as disciples of Jesus to be salt of the earth. We are called to be salt for the earth. To show the world God's ways, to speak out when another path is taken, to season the whole world for God. We are not the light, but the window through which the light is seen, that others may look at us and see God. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.